Amen. God is good this morning. You know, I had to think this morning, and it was such a blessing to be able to sing the song "Because He Lives" this morning. It was very fitting for just the thinking, dedicating children to the Lord. And I know that song if you look at the history of when that song was written, I wanted to quick pull it up. I couldn't find it, but I did read it before, and Gloria Gaither wrote that song when she was with child, towards the end of her pregnancy, I think, even just going through a hard thing or hard time, and she wasn't sure if it's even a good idea to bring children into the world that they were living in. That is it even fair, you know, that you would bring children into the world? And I think, yeah, she just had a revelation or whatever. Because He lives, these children have a chance, and a great chance. And I was just thinking, you know, what does save our children? Like, what is the greatest reason why our children would make it? We know that the world gets darker, but Jesus said, where sin abounds, His grace doth much more abound. So I don't think that should be an issue, just because our world is more sinful or darker, but His grace will be even greater for our children than they were for previous generations. Whatever it takes, let's just put it that way, whatever it takes, God's grace will be there and sufficient for these dear children and grandchildren of ours. What a gift they are. Yeah, just thank you, each one of you who have committed your children to the Lord. I believe that's a very honorable way to bless God, in as He gives you gifts of these children, that you would dedicate them back to Him. They are His. We're just stewards, and we need much wisdom in these days that we live in. So this morning we want to look at 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Those of you who weren't here last week, I was in 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 6, where I was talking about the wives being subject to their own husbands. This morning I want to look at verse 7, where it talks about husbands honoring their wives. Let's read 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I'm not an English teacher by any means, but when I look at this verse, I'm like, what is the subject of this verse? And I would think, husbands, dwell. I think that's what we want to look at this morning, is husbands, dwell with them. And that would give me indication that they should be living in the same home. Why, of course, why not? If you're a husband, why wouldn't you live in the same house? But it means more than that. It means dwelling with them. It means being there for them. It means being a covering for them. Like it says, we'll look in Ephesians a little later then, but the husband is the head of the wife. But it also says in Corinthians that Christ is the head of the husband. So does any of us have authority even over who we are? Like if the wife's head is the husband, my head is Christ, then neither of us has the freedom to just live for ourselves, because we're getting our direction from someone else. Now, I'm not at all saying, and I'm not asking, that my wife just ask me everything that she needs to do or obey everything that I say. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. But I also believe that when there's a dwelling together, and whether it's a husband dwelling with them according to knowledge, or whether it's the wife being in subject to their own husbands, I also believe, because it says likewise, there gives some indication maybe that maybe the wife isn't with him in his, maybe his new birth or whatever. Because we did read there in earlier that even if any not obey not the word. So I think he's saying that if the wife's out of her lifestyle, that the husband could be won by her conduct and her conversation. Maybe in the same way, I think, as a husband would dwell with his wife according to knowledge, just knowing better, according to how we would know to treat a wife, right? It says, as unto the weaker vessel. It doesn't really say that she is a weaker vessel, but it's like as unto a weaker vessel or the weaker vessel. She's not weaker in the sense of being fit to express and even walk out her faith with God. Like, their wives are often, I would say, even in a sense, stronger in their faith, or they're quicker to accept, or they're probably maybe a little more gullible to new things or whatever. But in the same way, I think they can also receive from the Lord maybe even quicker or more readily than what us husbands do. And seeing, I think it's very important here that we recognize what it would mean to dwell with our wives, to dwell with them according to knowledge and giving honor unto them. Also says in Colossians, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And when I think of being bitter, why would Paul exhort us to not be bitter if we're Christians? Like, he's exhorting us to not be bitter toward our wives, but we're to love them. And I think there's definitely a place where we must guard ourselves to not being bitter. And I think even in thought, it's not just like we would holler at them or be abusive in that way, but it's also, what are we thinking? What's our thoughts towards our wives? What are we meditating on? When we think about our wife at home and we're at the workplace, or are we praying for them? Is there, what's going on in our hearts? Or is there an argument? Or, well, I don't know why she just keeps doing, whatever. I'm just saying, be not bitter against them. It says to love them. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:21, just a lot of good advice for us husbands. I want to look at verse 21 and then also 25 to 33a. In 21, and we looked at this the other Wednesday night, Aaron Myler preached here on in Ephesians, and how he just shared how, verse 18 starts out, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then most of our Bibles might have a split there from 20 to 21, but like his thought was, this is just an outflow of walking in the Spirit, is when we submit ourselves together. Let's look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What does that look like? What does it look like to submit one to another? And does that apply to us as husbands? Or is it just worded wrong? Like, I think it does. It applies to us husbands. There's no way that I can love my wife and not submit to her in a way that would bring unity. Again, submission brings unity. And I think as we look at the prior chapter of there in Peter 2, where it gives the illustration of Jesus Christ and how he, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he left, but he gave his life for us. Jesus Christ himself had to submit his will to the Father for our salvation. And I believe there's times where we as husbands need to submit ourselves to our wife in the fear of God. We're talking about a husband-wife relationship. We're not talking about someone who is reigning over. Again, Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Like we should have maybe just started at verse 18. Let's do that. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no period. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Period. So I'm just seeing an outflow of walking in the Spirit. May we know, as the Spirit gives direction in a situation and you're communicating, you're sharing about whatever it might be, and you may just need to say, you know what, I think you're right. That's not that bad, is it? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then we'll jump to verse 25. Here again, it says, husbands, love your wives. And if we think we should, you know, put more attention on the wives submitting, I think we should look at this verse more. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I don't know how we could get by that without somehow submitting one to another. I mean, there can't be new. There's like if your wife would revile according to the scriptures, Jesus wouldn't revile back. So it's not me just usurping authority over the wife. If we are the head of the wife, does that mean we should think for them or we should know what they need? It's not. It's working together for the sake of unity. You know, we know a wife can have anything, everything that she needs, a home, children, a nice garden, you name it, things that make a wife flow. But it really wouldn't mean much if there's not love. Like when there's love from the husband, that's more important than anything else. It doesn't mean much. So as we think of husbands loving your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now, I would think the next few lines here would be what Christ did for us. I don't know that I can sanctify and cleanse my wife. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I do know that as we communicate and as we walk together, as we dwell together, and we read the word together, Christ will sanctify us. Christ will sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. He's talking about the body of Christ. He's not just specifically here talking about our wives. But I think he's bringing a point to the end here, as we'll see. It's a great mystery. It's that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So if we love our wives as our own bodies, then we should always know what to do. Because we know what we would do in that situation. If I'm sick, I would do something about it, right? Or I don't know what you do when you're sick, but when men are sick, they're awfully sick, right? And the wife takes care of the husband. I don't know. That's how it is around our place. But what if the wife is sick? This is, not always where I do the best. But what do we do? Do we take care of them as we would our own bodies? For we are members. Oh no, verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So again, we're looking at a really a mystery here. But he It's this, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And yet, what a parallel it is that if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, our marriages will display Jesus Christ to the world. And by that love relationship, by that marriage unity, by that marriage union through our children, the world will be reconciled back to Christ. He uses the church to reconcile the world back to himself. And then it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. I'll stop there for this morning, but that's our duty, is even to love our wives as we would love ourselves. Proverbs 5:9-19. I'm going to read. Proverbs 5:9-19. I'm going to read this in the Amplified, the AMPC. It says, lest you give honor to others and years to those without mercy, lest strangers and false teachings take their fill of your strength and wealth and your labors go to the house of an alien from God, and you groan and mourn when your end comes, when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated instruction and discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor submitted and consented to those who instructed me. The extent and boldness of my sin involved almost all evil, and in the estimation of the congregation and the community. Then it says, drink waters out of your own cistern of a pure marriage relationship, and fresh running waters out of your own well. Should your offspring be dispersed abroad, as water brooks in the streets, confine yourself to your own life. Let your children be for you alone and not the children of strangers with you. Let your fountain of human life be blessed with the rewards of fidelity and rejoice in the wife of your youth. In other words, the wife of your youth, I believe, is where we're to rejoice in and to be, our life should be excited about. This isn't just one day we decide, well, I've had enough, you know, and we can't get along anymore. But it does exhort us to rejoice in the wife of your youth. And if that isn't happening, there may be a need to be, you know, reconnected or whatever happened. I know years ago when I started to see this, that I need to listen when my wife speaks, and started to see that they actually have a lot of wisdom. Like, we're the ones that God said needed a helpmeet. He didn't say the wife needs a helpmeet. We like to focus on that she's my helpmeet, right? But it's simply because we're immature, and we're without her, we are not going to mature properly. And so let's see that we need a helpmeet. God didn't say that my wife needed me, but I needed her. Because in our own selves, we just like to think that, well, we're the husband, and then whatever we have, whatever we say, this is what we should do. But it really is a work. It's a submitting one to another in the fear of God. And it says giving honor unto the wife. What does that mean? To give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Again, I guess I don't look at my wife as being a weaker vessel. And yet that's what it's saying. There is a sense in that, like I said, there may be more gullible to new things or whatever, they're more apt to reach out to other things if the relationship with their husband isn't in the right place. I believe that would... So we give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Honor is to place value on, to make sure she doesn't feel like an employee or as under a tyrant. Like this relationship shouldn't be as an employer with an employee. It's different. Even it's different. It's working together as the heirs of grace of life together. Again, looking at the culture they were likely living in, I was thinking, you know, even in our Muslim culture, we see a lot more just dominating over the wife. But it's any culture who doesn't understand this concept. And really, it was a different teaching probably for most of them who lived under the Roman Empire and under that. And the way they operated was, you do as I say. And so the wife could be caught in adultery and they would kill her, and yet if the husband was caught in adultery, everything would be okay, and you would still have to dwell there or live with him. But we're looking at something that Jesus came and he raised the bar. We're to walk together as heirs together of the grace of life. But it says give honor, giving honor unto the wife. Make sure she doesn't feel like just an employee. Here's, well, we often see ourselves, the husband, listen to me, that's degrading. I know I probably would have said that already. Years past, like, you have to listen to me, or this is, you know, but how do we work that out together? Our wives are weaker physically, but sometimes they just want us to listen. They're not always looking for answers. They just want to know that we care. It happened many times in our home. I would come home from work or evenings after the children go to bed. We'd sit down and share, or she would talk about her day and just pour out her frustrations of the day. And it was amazing. Even if, and most times I didn't have answers, things got better. You know, it doesn't always, and most times, they don't actually really want answers. They just want somebody to listen. There may be times when they need an answer, but that's not always the case. But honoring them in a way that we would listen and that we would care for them. I had to learn this because no one told me. You know, I was never taught this in as I was growing up or as a young man that was, you know, eventually wanting to find a good thing. I wasn't told this, that, you know, what they really need is just to know that you care. This was a commentary from Matthew Henry. Giving honor to the wife, giving due respect to her and maintaining her authority, protecting her person, supporting her credit, delighting in her conversation, affording her a handsome maintenance, and placing a due trust and confidence in her. I thought that was really good. If we could just, yeah, that's good advice for any husband to do that. But what is the reason for this? It says that your prayers be not hindered. Like, it's not just good advice, but there's a purpose, actually, that God is wanting us to, God is wanting us to do this. This is it, that your prayers be not hindered. It says that we're heirs together of the grace of life, first of all. I got saved just the same way that she got saved. There's not like I need anything special or that she needs anything special. We are heirs together. The grace of God came on her just like it did me. And we walk out that we're both saved by the blood of Jesus. It's not like I needed something extra or she needed something extra. But we're heirs together of the grace, but so that our prayers be not hindered. I'm going to look at Malachi 2. This was kind of, I've tied into this, and yet it was just maybe from a little bit different angle, and yet I was kind of, when I saw this, I was like, this would be maybe what God wants us to do, or like, what are we doing? Verse 13 to 16, it says, 13. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. And I was like, would that be, if we're dealing treacherously, and if we're not living together in unity, if we're not submitting one to another, if we don't love our wives as Christ loved the church, it says that your prayers be not hindered. And I guess when I saw this, I was like, they were weeping and crying out and wailing, and yet God was a witness between them that he was dealing treacherously with his wife. And God didn't answer. And so how important is it that we treat our wife with honor so that our prayers are heard? I have needs. I have a family. And I need my prayers to be heard, right? But it looks to me like here, it starts with, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Would be the way that our prayers will be heard. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter. I want to read that. I was looking at that a little bit and just thought of, I'm not a poet or anything, but I thought this, and probably there is already something wrote somewhere. I was just thinking, if I would just parallel this with, you know, a wife or me and my wife. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. And I was like, I can say everything that's right. I can say all the right things. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I'd understand my wife completely, all the mysteries of her and all the knowledge and all the faith, that I could even remove mountains. If there wouldn't be love, then it wouldn't really be. She would probably wouldn't care what I know about her. Like, are we actually able to understand things and yet not have love? Then it probably wouldn't matter to her that much how much I know, right? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and I give my body to be burned, have not charity, it would profit us nothing. But these next verses are certainly a challenge to each one of us this morning. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity doesn't seek her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. How often, where's our mind or our thoughts when we're thinking of our wives? Thinketh no evil. True love, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. Charity never faileth. We know that if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, then our wives will have no problem submitting to us. We just learn how to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.